Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Asheville, North Carolina. He was an assistant basketball coach under the legendary Dean Smith for 11 years, then the head coach of Kansas for 15, and since 2004 has led the North Carolina Tar Heels. He's led his teams to 7 Final Fours and has won the NCAA championship in 2005 and again in 2009. His .788 winning percentage is the highest winning percentage of any active coach in the nation. His name? Roy Williams. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Coach Roy Williams, University of North Carolina. Coach, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you very much, Jack. I'm glad to be with you.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents, please?
Well, I'm just glad you don't want to talk about my golf game. No, Jack, I grew up in Western North Carolina, a split family, but my mother was the angel of the world, and I did okay there and came here to North Carolina as an undergraduate and stayed and got my master's degree, and I was a high school coach for 5 years, and then all of a sudden Coach Dean Smith asked me to come and be his assistant for 10 years, and then I went to Kansas for 15, and now North Carolina back for 13, so it's my 43rd year as a basketball coach. So I've been around, but my childhood was it wasn't the best in the world, but I was always happy and had a mom that loved me and tried to get me to do the right thing, so it was okay. It was not what people would be a model childhood by anything. My dad was an alcoholic and was married 5 times, and so there was a lot of things that you would look at and say it wasn't the best of the worlds, but again, I had a loving mother, and if you have that, you can survive.
We're talking to Coach Roy Williams, who has a .788 winning percentage, which is the highest winning percentage of any active coach in the nation. But, Coach, your first year of coaching, 1973, high school, Black Mountain, Owen, you were 2-19.
Isn't this a great country? My first year in coaching, we were 2-19, and since then, I've coached at the University of Kansas and University of North Carolina. What a great country we live in, right, Jack?
Yes. 1978. The legendary late great Coach Dean Smith hires you as an assistant coach. I think he paid you $2,700 that first year.
Mm-hmm.
And you were with him for 11 years. Talk about those 11 years, please.
Well, $2,700 was the great wife, because I went home and told her that Coach Smith had asked me the job. She says, we have a one-year-old son. You're going to make $2,700 down there. If we stay here, she was going back to teaching because her son she had been out for a year at the birth of our first child. And she said, we're going to make $30,000 if we stay here, and you want to go back to Chapel Hill for $2,700. And I said, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And she said, okay, when do we leave? You know, so it does have a way of things working out. But I ended up selling calendars and driving TV show copies for our football coach here and for Coach Smith's basketball coaches' shows. And it makes me really appreciate the things that have happened since then, because on Sunday, if there ever is a day, or used to be, it's not even that anymore, but if there ever was a day in college coaching, Sunday was your day off. And I used to drive 504 miles every Sunday to deliver 2 copies of Coach Smith's TV show and Coach Crum's football show around the state of North Carolina. So 504 miles every Sunday was not good. But, you know, here I was with Coach Smith just for 10 years, but it was 10 great years. And I was coach of the JV team and our assistant on the varsity. So I had 2 practices every day for 8 years. And then Eddie Fogler left to take the head coaching job at Wichita State, and moved on up, and somebody else took over the JV team. But, Jack, it was a fun time for 10 years.
Let's go back to 1981, assistant coach under Dean Smith, and you helped recruit a young player by the name of Michael Jordan. Please.
Yep. Michael was a kid from Wilmington, North Carolina, and I spoke with his high school coach, and I was trying to get as many of the good players in the state to come to our basketball camp the summer before Michael's senior year. and spoke to his high school coach and convinced him to come here. And so we had him on our campus for a week and just fell in love with his ability and in love with his competitiveness. And so we recruited him really, really hard, and fortunately we got him. And so the season of 81-82 with his freshman year is when Coach Smith won his first national championship and the first at North Carolina since 1957. And Michael made the famous shot, the game-winning shot at against Georgetown. And so Michael said many times that that shot just gave him confidence that he could do things on the big stage. And needless to say, it was important to the rest of us as well.
Let's go back to that 82 championship against Georgetown. And you got Perkins, you got Worthy. And Coach Smith calls a timeout, you know, with just a few seconds left to go in the game. And he says, we're going to have this rookie take the last shot. When he said that, what did you think?
Well, it's Jack, this is one of my great stories. I hope I don't bore you to death with it. But there was 30-something seconds to play, and we called a timeout. And the look on our guys' faces as they came over the bench really scared me, because it was the first time that I thought, oh, my gosh, we might not win this thing, because the look on our faces – the players' faces when he came over was not a good one. It gave me a negative feeling, and I said I'd never even had any inkling that we would not win, because I was convinced we were the best team in the country and had been all year long. And so, coaches, we kneeled down in front of the players sitting on their chairs, and Coach Smith said, we're in great shape. We've got them exactly where we want them. We're going to determine the outcome of this game. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, maybe I looked at the scoreboard wrong. So I sneaked a peek up at the scoreboard, and sure enough, we were still down one. And so he did. He went through the whole thing. He said, we're going to run lineup to get it in case they're pressing. I don't think they will. I think they'll still be in the sagging zone, sagging man-to-man, or go straight zone. Let's run two and see if we got the lob. I don't think it'll be there. But if it's not, just keep going, because we'll get something good. Let's penetrate. And we go on the backside if we can. We get a shot. James, you get inside position. Sam, you get inside position. Even if we miss the shot, we'll get the rebound. And if something weird happens and it happens to bounce out and they get the rebound, we'll foul them. And there's no way they're going to make a free throw in this situation. We have it in our hands. We're going to determine the outcome. We're in the great situation we've wanted all year long. And all of a sudden, everybody's look just changed. And as the guys were walking out of the huddle, Coach Smith pat Michael on the rear and said, Michael, if you get it, knock the shot in. And that was it. And it was one of the greatest motivational talks I've ever seen. It lasted about 45 seconds.
We lost Dean Smith a little more than a year ago, and he did something special in his will. Can you share that with us?
Well, he really did. And the neat thing to me is I think I'm the only person he ever shared that with, other than his accountant. But he told me he was going to leave a little bit of money to every player and let them go out to dinner. And so when he passed away last February, a month or so after that, his accountant was able to get everything straightened out. And every young man that ever played for Coach Smith got a letter, a short note, and a check for $200. And it said, basically, it was a great run. Thanks very much. Take this and go out and have a nice dinner on your old coach. And it was really one of the sweet gestures that I've ever seen in any area of any field, much less sports.
We're talking to Coach Roy Williams. Coach, what's the biggest thing 43 years of coaching basketball has taught you?
You got to care about the people, Jack. It's about wins and losses. Yes, our coaches get fired, but at Christmas time, I've adopted something that Coach Smith did, and I send a little note to every one of my former players at Christmas time, and the notes that I get back from them are the most important. We had senior night here Monday night of this week. I got two notes from former players that they had seen some of the senior night celebration festivities on TV. And these are two youngsters that played for me at the University of Kansas, so it was more than 13 years ago. And they sent me little notes remembering their senior night. And so it is. It's about the people. My daughter gave me something one time, a little plexiglass thing. It said, statistics are important, but relationships last a lifetime. And most of the coaches, especially the coaches my age and in my age group, we all got into coaching because it's what we loved. We wanted to be, in my situation, I wanted to be like my high school coach. And most of the guys that I talk to now, you know, Tom Izzo and John Beilein, they didn't know anything about radio shows, TV contracts, shoe contracts, or anything like that. We just wanted to coach and see if we could have a relationship with someone like we had with our own coaches. I just wanted to be like my high school coach. He was and still is the most influential male in my life. So for me, that's all I wanted. And I think that stands the test of time. And there's so much money involved in it now. Yeah, it's very attractive, and people want to do it, but it's hard to do. But I think the old guys like myself and Tom and John, and they're not the only ones, but I mean, it is a club that you understand why you got in the business.
That senior night was actually February 29th, and your point guard, Marcus Page, turned the tables on you. Mm-hmm. What did he do, and how did you react?
Well, you know, I stole that from Coach Bob Knight at Indiana. When he was coaching there, he allowed the seniors on senior night to get the microphone and thank the fans for their support. And so we started doing that when I was coaching the University of Kansas, and brought it with me when I came back here to North Carolina. And that's what I told them. And Bryce Johnson and Joel James said, why don't you let Marcus talk for all three of us? And I said, no, you've got to get up and say something too. And they said, well, Marcus is going to do a better job. And I said, well, still, you've got to get up and say something. So they stood up themselves and said something about family and friends and the support they've received and what the 4 years have been like. And then Marcus got up and said the same thing, recognized his mom and his dad and his grandfather and his girlfriend and the support for the fans and what the 4 years had meant to him. And then he started talking about me, and he got a little emotional, and I got a lot emotional. So it wasn't the prettiest face I've ever looked when I looked up at the big board and saw my own face up there, because the tears were rolling down. But the relationships, Jack, that you have with these kind of youngsters, and Marcus Page is a special, special young man. He's a two-time Academic All-American, and we hope to hear this week that he'll be a three-time Academic All-American. But it was a special night for me and my family, too.
Here's what Marcus Page said to his coach, Roy Williams, that night. You always told me, I believe in you, son. You're going to make shots. You're going to do fine. You're going to be a great player. You just believed in me, and I can't thank you enough for that, because that allowed me to be a confident person myself and allowed me to grow as a person. I'm a 10-time better man than I was when I got here. We're talking to Coach Roy Williams, who served as an assistant basketball coach under Dean Smith from 1978 through 1988. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Coach Roy Williams, who from 1988 through 2003 was the head basketball coach at the University of Kansas and led them to 9 conference titles and 14 consecutive NCAA tournaments. We've been blessed here in Michigan to have 2 phenomenal college coaches in the Big Ten, Tom Izzo, John Beilein. Tell us about Coach Izzo, please.
Tom Izzo and John both are 2 great guys. And Tom, I've spent more time with Tom than probably I have with John, and we had a great thrill. Michigan State against North Carolina on the aircraft carrier when in front of President Obama about 3 years ago in the harbor in San Diego. And it was the only one of those games that has been tried that was pulled off without any glitch of weather or slippery court or anything. But it was a unique experience for us. And I've always had the greatest amount of respect for Tom. I love his toughness, and it's tough love. It's not just toughness. It's tough love for his players. I think he's a true credit to the coaching profession. He's a guy that I love watching his team play, and I enjoy being with him. And, you know, I'm not trying to act like we're bosom buddies, but when I see Tom and have a chance to say hello and laugh and giggle a little bit, it's a thrill for me, because he's one of those guys that I respect greatly and genuinely like. And we've been on a few trips with him and his wife and me and my wife and some of the coaches' trips. And the people in Michigan and in Michigan State people have to be thrilled with what he's done for their program and what he will continue doing. And John Beilein is one of the true gentlemen in our game. He's had a tough year with some injuries this year at Michigan. I try to steal some knowledge from him for all of his shooting drills and everything he does at Michigan. But John is just one of the credits to our coaching profession as well. And you have 2 guys right there in that state that I would be thrilled if my son could grow up and play for either one of those guys.
Tom Izzo recently said, and I quote, "A college coach is as much a teacher as most professors."
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about that?
I believe that's true. I mean, every day I ask 50, 100, 200 questions during practice. What did you do? Why did you do it? What were you supposed to do? What is our philosophy? What is our principle in certain situations? And I treat it like a classroom. And I had one of my players who, in fact, graduated to University of Kansas with honors, is a surgeon right now in Colorado, was just a great, great young man. And he stood up on the basketball banquet. The senior spoke there, and he looked at our chancellor and said, "Chancellor, I'm not trying to upset you, but Coach Williams is the best teacher I've had in my 4 years at the University of Kansas." And that was one of the greatest things that I've ever had anyone say about me. And that's what Tom is talking about. We are trying to teach them basketball, teach them leadership qualities. We are trying to teach them how to focus with other people and work with other people towards a common goal. And that all the time requires making sacrifices. And I think that we're teaching them life lessons, not just how to shoot and how to box out for a rebound.
What made John Wooden so special, Coach?
I think Coach Wooden was so organized and so meticulous that he left nothing to chance. I think that's something that we all have to make sure that we try to touch on every situation our players may face in the game, but also in life. And I think that that's what Coach Wooden did. He was incredible organizational skills, an incredible motivational speaker. He could get youngsters to focus on a common goal and make those sacrifices that we talked about. But he may have been the most organized man I'd ever seen in my life, and he was great to me.
At least twice a year, you look down at the other bench, and you see this man, Coach K.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like?
You know, Mike and I have so many things in common. We believe in the same things in college athletics and what's good for college athletics and getting our kids to get their degrees and care about people and be productive in society. And we both try to win basketball games and teach values there as well. But he is one of the best competitors I've ever seen, very thorough. The respect that I have for Mike is as high as can possibly be. I can't imagine any other coach in the country that's got as much respect as I have for Mike Krzyzewski. And yet, man, he's 10 miles apart, and we compete all the time. Recruits come to our place one weekend and their place the next weekend, fly into the same airports. And then, as you say, we do compete twice a year regular season-wise. And last year, the highest-rated regular season game in college basketball for the TV people was Duke at North Carolina, and the second highest game was North Carolina at Duke. And this, so far, the highest-rated TV game that we've had this year in college basketball is when they played here 3 weeks ago, and the way they're advertising it, I wouldn't be surprised if this Saturday over in Durham would be even higher. But a great competitor, very thorough at a great institution and running a great program.
We're talking to Coach Roy Williams. Coach, you've also coached under another legend, this one for 46 years, your wife, Wanda Williams, who you met in high school.
Right. We met in Algebra 1 class in the ninth grade. But she's the leader of the pack. There's no question. It's that old joke that the man says, "I run everything around my house." And you say, "What are you talking about?" And the man says, "I run the vacuum cleaner, the dishwasher, and the washer, and everything else." But she was the fantastic mother of our two children. And now we have two grandsons. And she's been the rock. There's no question. 43 years of marriage, 8 years together before that. I mean, it's been a great partnership and one that I'm very proud of.
I once heard that in every great marriage, the man wears the pants in the family, and every morning the woman tells him what pants to wear. Coach, talk about the role that the spouse plays, the wife plays, for college basketball coaches.
Well, you know, just like after the tremendously disappointing loss here to Duke, I go home and she knows how disappointed I am after the disappointing loss at UVA. You know, and I get back late that night, she knows how disappointed I am. And she's been through it so many times, and she tries to get you to see the bigger picture. That things are going to be all right, number one, but you're still doing okay, number two, you still have a chance at all your dreams and goals. But and then the other thing is college basketball coaches, especially at Michigan, Michigan State, North Carolina, Duke, places like that, your time, the demands on your time are so unbelievable that the wife has to keep you grounded in making sure that you've got family time for your children, grandchildren, whatever it is. And for me, as I said, it's a great partnership, and I just can't imagine how I would have been able to enjoy my life like I have if it hadn't been for having Wanda with me.
We're talking to Coach Roy Williams, who was elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2007. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WFMU. jail. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Coach Roy Williams. ESPN, Sports Illustrated, and Fox Sports named him the Coach of the Decade for the years 2000 through 2009. Coach, you're famous for four leadership lessons. If we could talk about them. The first one, character counts. Please.
Yeah, I think, you know, I tell everybody, I told one time a group of high school principals and elementary, junior high, and high school, that the first thing we have to look for is ability. And the second thing I look for is character. And I had a little elementary school principal, a lady. She said, Coach, I just wish you'd say academic second. And I said, no, ma'am, because if he was a great player and a 4-0 student but a knucklehead, I don't want any knuckleheads. I want him to go play for those other people, because I think kids of character are going to stand with you at tough times and are going to improve and going to work on the most important things. And you can have the trust that you need there.
Point number two, choose to work hard every day.
Yes, you know, and Coach Wooden, his dad gave him a note one time, said, get the best out of every day that you can. And I'm old-fashioned, I'm old-school. I think at the end of the year you have a great chance to be playing your best basketball if you do the best you can every day. And if you do that over and over and over and over, then you get a chance to improve and be able to play your best basketball at the end of the year. And so that's the way we do in basketball. But I also think you have an opportunity to touch everyone's lives at different points during your career as a coach, and you need to do the best you can every day in every area.
Point three, be a fierce competitor.
Yeah, one of my assistants, one time we were walking up down the hall, and he's fumbling for his keys, and I got my key out and first and put it in the lock, and I said, beat you. And he said, I didn't realize it was competition. I said, life is competition. And, you know, they joke about it all the time because they think I'm a little wacko about the competition stuff. But I think it drives coaches. I think it drives successful people. They enjoy not just the final result. They enjoy the journey. I know I try to get my team and especially our fans to enjoy the journey. Enjoy when Michigan State has a great game or Michigan has a great game. Don't just think about what's down the road. Compete like crazy, and that stuff down the road will take care of itself.
If you want to learn more, Coach Williams' autobiography is entitled Hard Work, A Life On and Off the Court. The last of 4 points, win on and off the court.
You know, it is something. Coach Smith, I think, was the greatest basketball coach ever. And he was even better off the court than he was on. On the court, we tried to compete to the highest level, be prepared, compete like crazy, and then off the court, try to be the best person you can be in society and do things there that's going to help out you, your family, fellow man. And Coach Smith saw the big picture better than anyone I've ever seen. And we have a thought for the day on our practice plan every day, and I ask our players to repeat it back to me. And they don't have to give it to me word for word. And then I ask them, what does that mean to you, basketball? And they give me what they think. And I said, and what do you think that means to you in life? And they give me what they think there, because I think they're both run together. And it is, we want to be the best we can on and off the court, compete on and off the court, and work on and off the court to, again, enjoy the journey, but have a great chance to be the best we can do at the end.
Every basketball team has 12 players. Most of us know the first six or seven, mm-hmm. But Coach, talk to us about the eighth through the 12th players on a basketball team and the role they play.
Well, they're the ones that help make those first eight guys better every time. We have our blue teams, what we call them, those guys that in football they would call them the scout team. And we get prepared for playing everybody. They prepare to learn the opposing team's plays, try to run them like they do. And it's some of those guys are walk-ons, and I think that's important to have diversity on your team with a different kind of skill level, everything. And those guys really do a great job for us, and I never try to never fail to leave them out when I'm talking about the success of our team.
We're talking to Coach Roy Williams, who led his team to seven Final Fours so far. He won it all in 2005, and getting back to Tom Izzo and that famous game on the aircraft carrier, there was another famous game between the two of you here in downtown Detroit. That first Monday in April, mm-hmm. 2009, 50,000 people at Ford Field, championship game. Talk about that game.
It was a great, great event. Great, the whole scenario there in Detroit. The people came out and supported the tournament. Supported one I think is the greatest sporting event we have in college athletics. And having Michigan State there was huge. It was 90% of those people wearing their green coats and everything, but they were great fans. It was a great venue, a great arena to play in, and we had been really, really good all year long. And I thought we had the best team, but I thought the same thing in 2008, and we didn't win. But we were fortunate enough to beat Michigan State that day, and it was just a wonderful experience for us. I was very fortunate to win. Have my team win it in 2005, and carried me along, and to do it again in 2009 was even sweeter in some ways. But the Hilton Garden Inn there in Detroit will be a favorite place of mine forever. That was our staying place when we were, our lodging place when we were up there.
In that tourney, you only trailed for a total of 10 minutes out of a possible 200 void. You had an awesome team, and you just blew everybody away that tournament.
Well, yeah, we've played all those games. The closest game we had was 12 points, so we beat everybody by double digits. But we were really good. Tyler Hansbrough, Ty Lawson, Wayne Ellington were drafted that year in the first round, and Danny Green was drafted in the second year, and they're all still playing in the NBA and being successful. So they carried me very well there, Jack.
Talk to us about embracing adversity versus hiding from it or fearing adversity.
Well, and I'll give you another one right with that, too, is that I think that when you do that, you do it the right way. And one of the things I say to tie in with what you're saying is be led by your dreams, not pushed by your problems, because adversity is going to be there. You try to improve, and then you move on. Next shot, next play, next game kind of thing. And I try not to let our team lay down in the gutter and worry and say, woe is me, too long after a big loss or after a negative thing, because we've got to move on. And I do believe in that be led by your dreams, not pushed by your problems, is my favorite saying of all time.
Our Gen Zers, these are the kids born since 1995, that's who is playing for you now. That's who you're recruiting. Talk to us about this latest generation.
You know, it's amazing how much things have changed. And, you know, as we talked earlier, this is my 43rd year of coaching, 28 years a head coach. Kids have changed a little. The culture has changed a great deal. Everybody around them have changed. Everybody used to be so thrilled when their son or their nephew or something would be offered a college scholarship. And now college is basically like a little bus stop on the way to the NBA for a lot of kids at the level of Michigan, Michigan State, North Carolina. And so it's changed drastically. But the kids themselves, you can still find kids that believe and be involved in a team, and you just have to make sure that you touch on both areas, because they have their own individual dreams and goals, and those are so overpowering because of the money in the NBA. But if kids will focus on the name on the front of the jersey, I've always thought the name on the back of the jersey would be taken care of.
We're talking to Coach Roy Williams, whose autobiography is entitled Hard Work, A Life On and Off the Court. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WGR. I'm Jack Rasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Coach Roy Williams. Deep down, what do these young kids really want and need the most?
Well, that's two different questions. They really want to be NBA players and have all the money and the glory and the, you know, the fanfare that they watch those movies on or programs on TV, Cribs, where they see all these fancy houses and cars and everything. But that's not necessarily what they need. It's okay to get that, and it's okay to strive for that. But what they really need is things that we've already talked about, the work ethic to be prepared, the idea every day to do everything you can and be humble, but have the confidence that you can be one of the best. And if you get that from college athletics, you're going to be successful, not just in the NBA, but you're going to be successful in life. And so there's no question what they want, but they've got to make a few sacrifices to get what they really need.
Would you talk to us about the job our high school coaches throughout America do in helping our young people?
You know, as I said earlier, I wanted to be just like my high school coach, because he was the first person to give me confidence and make me feel like somebody and make me feel like I could be somebody. And, in fact, if it hadn't been for him, I wouldn't have ever gone to college. There was no one in my family that had ever gone to college. And so it was extremely important, and I've never forgotten that. And so every high school game I go to now, they say, "Coach, come on in. You don't need to pay." And I said, "No, I'm going to pay." I was a high school coach for 5 years, and I know how important this $5 or $6 is to you, and I just appreciate what they're doing, because I get upset all the time when I see the salaries of teachers, because I think they should be some of the highest-paying jobs in our country, and it's very upsetting when it's not. But I'm a big, big fan of teachers and coaches.
The late, great Chuck Daly once told me, "Daddy Rich, that the difference between coaching pros and college, Jack, is with college, you got 12 young men and you're a teacher. You're an uncle. In the pros, you're teaching 12 CEOs. Mm-hmm. Coach, you've had a lot of chances to go to the pros. Why have you stayed in college?"
That's a good example right there. I'd rather teach where those kids look at me like a father or an uncle, as opposed to teaching those CEOs. I really enjoyed the college-age kid. I really enjoyed the relationships. I have been fortunate to have been offered several jobs in the NBA, but I think where I'm coaching is where Roy Williams fits, and we've been fairly successful, and I've just loved it all the time.
Talk to us about being a student athlete in college today and what their life consists of.
Being a student athlete now is so more difficult than it was years ago. Now, with all the pressures on the outside world for the culture, for a basketball player, for example, of trying to reach the glory and the money of the NBA is very difficult. There's so many problems out there for kids that I never had when I was growing up. There's so much attention. There's so much pressure and stress on a student athlete to perform. It's not Andy Griffin and Mayberry, RFD kind of thing. It really is a difficult situation. And when I see those advertisements on TV, when they say everyone goes pro, it's just that we don't do it in the sports world. Those kids go on to bigger and better things, but it is a difficult world out there for a student athlete trying to balance being a regular student, competing at the highest level, being humble and yet have the inner confidence to do everything you can with the stress and the attention that they get. It's a difficult world. I'm very proud of all of our student athletes.
What does basketball teach us about life?
Working with people, Jack. I think everybody has a team. It may be a team of three people in your office. It may be a team of 300. But I think everybody really wants to still be part of their team like they were when they were in Little League. We have a group of guys that used to go run every day at lunch, and what it was is everybody wanted to still be on a team again. But I think that competitive athletics, I do believe, teaches you to work with people for common goals and not necessarily always being the star. And there's one great saying, it's amazing how much can be accomplished when no one cares who gets the credit. And then you have that in athletics, and I think that does transfer to the business world.
We're watching something special in the NBA, this Golden State Warriors, mm-hmm. Steph Curry and these other 11. When you watch them, what do you see? What do you think?
When I see the Warriors play, I think of perfection almost. I mean, they share the ball. They shoot the ball so well. It really is fun basketball to watch. It's not beat on each other. It's a fluid game. It's an up-and-down game. And it's a game that with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes, Draymond Green, all those guys, if I saw that all the time, maybe I would have tried to go coach in the NBA. But they're just such a breath of fresh air for professional sports, I think, at any level.
You mentioned a few minutes ago about being humble. Everybody that knows you admires you for a lot of reasons, one of which is you've stayed humble. You've been to the Final Four 7 times. You've got the highest winning percentage of any active coach. How have you stayed humble?
Well, I know that Dale Harris was an old basketball coach. He said basketball coaches like to be a real cowboy. You're always on the run, and the posse's right around the corner. But I'll tell you one thing that I've loved, and I mean this, Jack. I've loved my relationship with the kids, and I've tried to make sure it was always that I always kept my sight on what was best for them as well. And I've been very fortunate. I'll give you this is the best I can say, is that my teams have taken me to 7 Final Fours, and I've taken my high school basketball coach with me to 7 Final Fours. And I love that those people who were with me and encouraged me and tried to model my life after, I've always tried to do everything I can to every day to try to make sure I was still making my high school basketball coach proud.
One of the things I see is when I meet somebody who's humble, that person is also has great gratitude, is very grateful, and that's like one of the best pills you can take to stay young and healthy. Talk about being grateful.
Well, you know, to me, I've got so many people that have been a great influence on me in my life. Like I said, my high school coach, my high school teachers, people like Coach Dean Smith that helped me out through so many times, Bob Frederick, our athletic director at the University of Kansas, that gave me a chance when people were about to get him fired by hiring this coach who had never been a head coach at the University of Kansas. So I realized that every day I'm being helped by a tremendous number of people, our players, our wonderful staff. So I think it's something that comes natural if you just understand that you're not the smartest and you're not the best and you can't do things by yourself. And it is team play every time I turn around.
I admire, whenever I listen to any manager, coach of high school, college, pros, they can remember, Roy, every kid that ever played for them. How is that?
It's amazing. My wife tells me I've got more useless information in my brain than anybody in the world, but I do remember every player that I had at any level, and you can remember certain plays and during games, but again, I'll go back to it's all about people, and I try to remember those people who have listened to me and ran those sprints when I blew the whistle and tried to compete, and it's a neat deal to be able to touch people's lives.
If there's a mom or dad listening tonight with a teenager or a 20-year-old son or daughter, what advice would you give that mom and dad about raising them?
You know, Tyler Zeller played for us, Cody Zeller played at Indiana, and Luke Zeller played at Notre Dame. The Zeller family even put out a book about how they raised their three sons. All three ended up being Mr. Basketball in Indiana, winning a state championship in Indiana. In fact, Cody won two of them. And I read that entire book, and what it is is caring and trying to prepare the child for the path. Don't try to prepare the path for the child. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be up and downs. But if you truly love the kid and you truly, truly care about the kid, you're going to give him the best advice, him or her, the best advice you can. I tell my players, I've never been mad at one of my players. Never. I've been mad at some of their actions. And if their actions continue to be the same thing, then it gets to be habits, and that's when you have problems. And so for me, Jack, as we start to close this off, because I'm getting ready to go out on the practice court, it is something that I'm very fortunate every day. My high school coach told me one time, said, you coach, you can see something that you gave that person 30 years later. It's your job to make sure you gave him something positive.
Coach, God bless. Thanks for all you've done. Stay healthy.
All right, Jack. I appreciate it. I hope our paths will cross again this spring.
God bless.
Thank you, sir.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahome. Believe in me.